Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Now a word from our sponsor, BetterHelp. Tiffany here from Swish, and I want to talk about being a problem solver. In my classroom, I'm always telling my ICFirsties to be problem solvers. In first grade, that's one thing, but in adult life, it's a whole other. It can be really difficult to train your brain to go into a problem-solving mode. Maybe you don't even know where to start. It's a challenge that we all face in life. But when you learn to better help your brain find solutions, it's truly a great feeling. And if you've ever been thinking of giving therapy a try, BetterHelp is a great option. BetterHelp is convenient, it's accessible, it's affordable, and it's all online. And on top of that, they match you with a therapist just by filling out a brief survey. So when you want to be a better problem solver, therapy can get you there. Visit betterhelp.com/swish today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/swish.
Welcome to Swish and Flick, an All Potter podcast.
Swish and Flick, everyone. Swish and Flick.
Hello and welcome to episode 83 of Swish and Flick. I'm Tiffany.
I'm Megan.
I'm Katie.
I'm Ron Swanson.
And this episode is sponsored by Caitlin Birkinshaw. Thank you, Caitlin.
Thank you, Caitlin.
Today we will be discussing chapter 13 of Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire, Meta Moody. So make sure that you have read that chapter. Oh, I'm running out. And you're ready to
plunge.
Walk on your Mad-Eye Moody leg right into the deep
end. What is it? How did Joe say it?
What? Chicken foot.
Oh, yeah. Chicken foot. You might need to chicken foot your way in. All right. Before we begin, Megan has some weekly profit news that I'm excited for.
Okay. We all know, at least I think we've discussed this on the podcast, how much we like our advent calendars. We usually, like, I'll get those sock ones sometimes. They had Harry Potter sock ones, and I brought it up.
We all got the socks.
Yeah. 2 years ago, I didn't get any advent calendars last year.
I didn't get one last year.
You didn't get socks?
No.
We got an advent calendar last year.
We got tea.
It was tea, and it was delicious.
Tea.
I'm not good at...
Oh, I mean, we're really bad at doing it daily.
When I got the sock one, I just opened it.
Because you're the person that reads the last chapter of the book.
What you wanted to say is because you're the worst, and I wouldn't disagree with you.
Well, you're the worst with waiting and surprises. Yeah. You want to know.
Well, yeah.
I'm that way with, like, competition TV shows. I have, if it's already been aired and I'm watching it, I have to Google it to see who wins.
Oh my God.
I will say I do that with TV shows.
Like the Great British Bake Off. I did every episode. I was like, who gets kicked off this week? And I would look it up.
Why?
Because I just like need to know.
I did that when I started watching Game of Thrones because I waited till I knew, sorry, spoilers for Game of Thrones if you haven't watched it.
Oh, whoops.
I knew that Jon Snow like was dead. I'm like, I'm not going to watch it unless he comes back because no. And then he did. And then I started watching and then I would read ahead in like the things to see who was dead so I wouldn't get attached to characters.
We actually
gave a spoiler alert
before we said what it was. That was good.
The first time.
Usually it's like we'll say it and we'll be like, oh, spoiler alert.
Well, I mean, we aren't talking Game of Thrones here. We're talking Harry Potter. So that's different because we told you from jump that we are not spoiler free.
No. We're not. Okay, but back to the weekly profit.
We'll just wreck everything.
So there's an advent calendar rumored for Christmas from Lego. And
Wait, didn't they do one last year?
Not a Harry Potter one.
Yeah, they did. I swear, little people.
No.
Those were just in the Funko.
That was Funko.
These are packets.
So normally only Star Wars and City and Friends receive Lego calendar treatment. But this year it seems that the Wizarding World is also going to be a part of the club.
The way that you're saying things today is making me laugh.
Why?
Because they got advent calendar treatment.
That's what's in the article.
Is it really?
So normally the calendar sets arrive on the 1st of September. How perfect for Harry Potter.
Love it.
But, you know, usually there's chocolate ones, but this, you get a little Lego build or a minifigure. So,
we have to get this.
It's really cute.
For our castle.
That's, yeah, I agree.
It's not built.
Okay, well, it's coming along, all right.
Yeah, when was the last time you started building it?
It's been a while. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
It's okay.
If we were to sit down, we'd be like, done.
How long was it at Tiffany's house without being touched?
I have a baby.
In my defense, I have four. Do it, so.
I have four babies. They just have fur.
Yeah, well, like, they just saying. They take more care of themselves than her kid does.
But anyway,
you cannot talk about Lady Supreme like that.
They also have other rumors going about with new products for the Wizarding World line set to launch in June. And the titles tentatively are, don't take my word for this, but this is what we're expecting to see. Expecto Patronum, whatever that means. Triwizard Challenge. Hagrid's Hut. That's cool. We should probably get that for our castle. Night Bus and the Hogwarts Watchtower.
Ooh.
So apparently we're going to get all of those new ones this year. But nothing's been officially confirmed by Lego yet. But the advent calendar has been.
Night Bus I need for, you know, all of my Lego stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? I should go to Target today and get a bookshelf.
You should. Yep. All right.
Sounds like it came out of left field, but it made me think of my Harry Potter things. So, guys, first world problem before Tiffany goes on to the next section. I have so many books on my Harry Potter bookshelf that it won't hold it up anymore.
Gave up and said, I quit.
I moved it and it was like, nope. Like, all right.
We need like a studio and we could just like compile all of our Harry Potter stuff in one
a
spot.
Floor to ceiling.
Floor to ceiling, like built-in bookshelves, Harry Potter books.
Still wouldn't be enough.
Sarah would take up half of it.
I would take up the other half.
Katie and I have no space for books.
Nope. Well, nope. Katie's are mine. And mine are Katie's. So.
I like to live under the philosophy, what's yours is mine, and what's mine is mine.
I like that, actually. Yeah.
Me libre, su libre.
Huh? Oh, my book, your book. Got it. I knew that. I figured it out.
Good job. Proud of you.
All right, what time is it? That was much more tame than last episode. Recap!
I just like screamed it.
Well, you could have just something funny, like, it's recap time. And then she'd be like, what time is it? It's recap time.
All right, well, that's number 84.
Yeah, that's for next episode. You just spoiled it for everybody.
What if I already had all the episodes ever planned and you just wrecked it?
That's what I do. I'm a life ruiner. We should be known by that.
We should be known by that, we huh? Should know
it. Guys, I'm running on very little sleep and a cup of coffee.
Sip that Ron Swanson coffee.
All right, let's do the recap.
All right, recap. So it's the start of term feast. There's a new sorting song, new Ickle firsties, and to Hermione's severe disappointment, the discovery that house elves work at Hogwarts. So she goes on a hunger strike no matter how much Ron wafts dessert smells in front of her face. Dumbledore's speech is interrupted when the new Defense Against the Dark Arts teacher shows up fashionably late. That traveling cloak, am I right?
Oh.
But we find out just why the Inner House Quidditch Cup has been canceled because of the Triwizard Tournament. Good thing the trio are too young to enter and have nothing to worry about.
You're right.
If only.
Oh, the tangled webs we weave.
Are you Trelawney?
Could be.
So, gosh, I gotta stop saying that. Classes have officially begun. Ba-da-da-ba! First day of school. Ron and Harry share them all. They're blasting off in Hagrid's class, and they're trying to see what's going to happen in Trelawney's class. My guess is that Harry's going to die, because you know what? That's what she always says. Malfoy taunts Ron about his father in the paper, and things get a little bit moody, and then it sort of is fixed with a swish, a flick, and a student turned into a ferret. And Ron has never been happier in his life. How's that for a funny summary?
I am pleased. I told her last night that it has to be funny.
She demanded.
All right. So last time, the chapter started out with like a gigantic like storm and just foreshadowing this book and pretty much the rest of the series. So it says, the following morning, the storm had blown through and the ceiling of the great hall was, quote, still gloomy, heavy clouds of pewter gray swirled overhead. And I said the same thing I said last time, showing us how the upcoming years are going to go. Yup.
I just want to remind everybody again that Katie, it wasn't Katie's fault that the bell wasn't working. It's the bell.
Oh, my gosh.
It's good now. Appreciate we you. Swapped out the bells. The original bell is going to be retired.
We'll see.
Maybe we'll do a, not a giveaway, but like.
What if they could win the bell?
Oh, that man. Could be fun. Oh. I kind of have an emotional attachment to it. We'll have to think about it. Oh,
all right, all right. Okay. So the trio is going over their class schedules. Fred and George and Lee are discussing ways that they can age themselves to enter the tournament. And we find out that Herbology is with the Hufflepuffs. Care of Magical Creatures is still with the Slytherins, and they have double divination.
What?
God, that's got to be awful.
That's too long up in that attic with all those stinky smells.
Think of block scheduling.
Oh, I was just going to say, when high school, when we had to, like, there were, I think it was only our lab.
Science
classes.
Yeah, had labs.
Jeez. And like, days it was like that three blocks. Like,
mm-hmm. Too long.
It's gosh. Way too long.
I'm with Trelawney.
But, like, I get why. I don't get the divination part, but I get why science blocks are together.
Oh, no. I get why there's double potions.
But, like.
Yes.
But I don't get double divination.
Yes.
There's no need for that.
Yeah.
No need for double anything but potions, I think.
Well, I don't know. Look, if you do Care of Magical Creatures.
That's true.
Yeah. Okay. I can see that.
You can use extra time in Herbology.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of labby.
Yeah.
Labby.
Like when you're doing, looking at stars and stuff. Like
astronomy, divination. No.
Well, astronomy, maybe if you're looking at the stars and you're trying to see something at a specific time. You know what I mean? And you're trying to really. But again, divination. Yeah. What's there to see there?
What's there to see?
Nothing.
You're clever.
I don't know. I think she's legit. I'll get to it.
Well, they make up a lot of stuff that happens, just saying.
Yeah. So Hermione points out that they should have given divination up last year, and they could be taking something useful like arithmetic. Ron gets snarky and points out the fact that she's eating again instead of being on strike.
So he's so petty.
Right? He's like, I'm going to go to the defense. And she's like, well, there are better ways of making a stand. And And Ron's like, yeah, and you were hungry.
All I think about, and again, we're going to go into this in bigger detail when, like, it's closer to her doing things.
Launching SPEW.
I feel like out of a lot of the places, like, he being Dumbledore, this is probably a great place to work. You know what I mean? Like, they could be like, I don't want to work today. And he'd be like, all right, cool. You know what I mean? He seems like a very, you know, for the household.
I don't want to do the work today.
Yeah.
So she should know that he wouldn't treat them like garbage because they're not.
Yeah.
And he's not, for the most part.
Moving on.
Ron's not garbage.
Talking about Dumbledore.
Yeah. Oh.
I would never say that Ron is garbage.
I was shocked.
He's
I'm like,
my favorite.
What? Dumbledore is sometimes garbage.
Well,
but
I wouldn't call him garbage.
No, he has garbage ideas.
Double trash.
Well, I think he just he ideals. Has good intentions.
Yeah.
Just doesn't execute them well.
Guys, I don't hate Dumbledore. Don't
the
start
only person I think we all hate that. Is Umbridge.
Yeah, yep. Agreed.
Yep, accurate.
Agreed.
Okay. So I said, well, what's arithmancy anyways? Ew. The funny thing is that it's still part of divination.
Oh, really?
So in the Muggle world, arithmancy is the practice of assigning numerical value to words for the purpose of divination. So that's the Muggle world, though.
But it's logical, which is why Hermione excels at it. Okay, sorry, go ahead.
No, but it says, although at Hogwarts, it can be presumed that the Wizarding World practice the same thing. So in Hermione's worlds, it was predicting the future with numbers. And it was her favorite subject taught by Professor Vector. It involved a lot of complicated homework and was a necessary subject for anyone hoping to ever work as a curse breaker at Gringotts Bank. Bill Weasley must have aced it then. And that's on Pottermore. But I think that's amusing.
Yeah, that's funny. But it's like, it just fits her personality better.
Yeah, she's all about the numbers. Yeah. Like, Marty, for example, talks about, like, Excel spreadsheets and numbers. And he was like, it was awesome. And I'm like, okay. Because in my world,
was it?
That sounds terrible. Like, even yesterday, I had these meetings. Sorry, my thing's weird. I had these meetings and we sat and I was jumping out of my skin. And I'm like, this is part of the reason why I'm an educator is because we're up, down, all over the place. Change. Like, I can't sit.
Yeah.
Sometimes I should say this. I don't think I've ever had a job where I sat. And
you would lose your mind.
I don't know. There's times where I've literally said, I'm like, I just want to work in a desk and not talk to a soul.
Yeah, but I think it would drive you crazy.
Until you do it. Because I do it.
Yeah, I don't know how you survive.
It's very, I think it's a lot hard. Of people that work in the medical field will know that there are days where if I don't talk to me when I come home, it can be so draining.
Yeah.
Because you give a lot of yourself to, like, your patients and your other coworkers, and especially working 12 hours, and you just want to go home and sleep for a million hours and not go back.
You wheeze that. No, go back.
And not go back. It's just, some days I'm like, God, I just want a day of work where I just punch things into a computer and I just don't talk to me. I'll listen to my music. Think
sometimes I feel like that, but then I got it yesterday and I was like,
I think that the reason why I can be so all over the place with all of my outside projects that I do is because I just sit at work.
Yep. Yeah.
So because I sit at work, I'm like, ooh, I want to do a podcast. Yeah. Ooh, I want to do this. I want to do that. I want to do wedding invitations. I want to make this. I want to do that. And it's like, it's because I need to like change it up, because sitting at a desk from 8 until 5, Monday through Friday, sounds real great until you have to do it every day. And you're especially like coming from a job where I was still doing design and doing something I loved, but I was constantly up and moving around because I was in a print shop and I loved that so much.
Yeah.
But my boss sucked. So like I had to give that up for a better situation, like financially and mentally with like the people I worked with. So it's just like hard switching from doing something I 100% loved, but like didn't enjoy the people I was working with to... Yeah. Doing, you know, but now because of that, it's just like my brain is just like all over the place all the time because I feel like I have to do something besides
sit. Don't say.
Oh, I know. My God. I know. Because I'm always texting them like, we should do this. We should add this. We should try this. And everybody's like, we have no time.
Well, and then there's me who never texts back because half the time
it resolves itself.
Well, that and like. It's a lot of energy to talk to people, and because I do it all day at work.
Yeah, no, I feel that.
And then people want to talk to me at home.
I will say that when you have those days where you don't want anyone to talk to, a desk job is great because you're just like, I don't have to talk to anybody if I don't want to. But then there's those days where you like want to do other things.
And I will also say that I only work 3 days a week because I would do 3/12s. So if I really wanted to be crazy and I've thought about this as getting another job, but then I'm like, why do that to myself yet?
You don't want it.
I've usually always had 2 jobs, which is crazy to me. I mean, I guess I technically have, like, this is a job.
This is a job.
It's definitely a job.
Yeah.
But this is the job that I love the most.
Correct. I like it.
Yep. I hate everything about it.
I mean, I love
teaching,
too. It
doesn't feel like a job.
I wish I could, like, put this into teaching. I wish I could be like a podcast teacher.
I tried to get my work to like do a podcast and they're like, no.
Jeez.
I'm like, but it could work. There's truck drivers and we could do stuff to like give them to listen to while they drive.
Oh yeah.
Someone asked me what I do in the medical field. I'm just an aide.
Don't say just Anne.
She's an aide.
I roll my eyes every time someone does that.
She is an essential part of her medical team.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Someday I'll probably be a nurse.
That's no job for the faint of heart.
And my mother will be like, you should have done that 10 years ago.
Stop. How did we get here?
Because we were talking about arithmancy. Yeah.
Let's jump back into the wizarding world. Mail call.
Hold on. Can you do the Blues Clues mail song?
Here's the mail. It never fails. It makes me want to wag my tail. When it comes, I want to whip mail.
Okay, all right. Thank you.
All of a sudden, 100 owls came soaring through the open windows. Harry looked around, and there was no sign of Hedwig's white feathers among the mass of brown and gray.
Nice.
A large, tawny owl landed in front of Neville. And Joe brings up the fact that Neville almost always forgets to pack something.
Poor Neville.
This would be me.
Isn't a tawny owl like a tan?
Yeah, I think so.
What'd you say?
Oh, so tawny.
I just want to give him a hug. Neville.
Neville. Draco's Eagle Owl lands and brought him his usual sweets care package.
What does that look like?
And Harry was pretty much disappointed that his little head wiggy wig wasn't there.
What?
Head wiggy wig.
head wiggy wig. It's a pet name for a pet.
Oh, wow. What a pretty owl.
My gosh.
It's got bright orange eyes.
I can't see this. It's not
sorry.
On that one.
It's got bright orange eyes. An eagle owl.
I can Google it.
His bright orange eyes are looking.
Ooh, that is cool. I'm surprised he doesn't have like a flamingo bring.
Right.
He looks peacock. Like he'd kill you.
Peacock. A white peacock from his yard.
He looks like he'd kill you.
Yeah.
Well, he is Draco's owl.
Birds are freaky. You know what I mean?
Well, they're dinosaurs.
I'm a dinosaur.
I'm not alligators
and
dinosaurs.
If you don't think
actually,
so,
I believe I'm made from Stardust, so I'm like super special. All
right.
I'm also a princess because that's what my name means. You're welcome.
It does.
That's a lot at one time. Harry carried his disappointment all the way to Greenhouse 3.
Pause.
Where they would be working with the Hufflepuffs and Professor Sprout. Professor Sprout was showing them basically the ugliest plants he had ever seen. And I think that says something, having dealt with mandrakes.
Agreed.
Too, because those things are not cute.
No.
They looked less like plants than they were thick, black, giant slugs protruding vertically out of the soil. That makes me want a vampire.
Mm-hmm.
They were squirming and had large, shiny swellings on them that appeared to be full of liquid. This is so gross.
You know what this reminds me of? Is like
what?
Like Dr. Pimple Popper.
I was just going
like
to say
all of
that.
Those nasty things.
I have
things.
To turn it. So,
oh, no, I will not.
So
I will vomit.
I watched My 600-Pound Life, and Pimple Popper commercials are in there everywhere. So I'm like,
oh, I love watching it.
I watch.
You're gross.
I watch a lot of stuff on TLC. That's TLC, isn't it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're like my sister. My sister will like purposely like find. She found Pimple Popper before Pimple Popper was on TV.
It was a huge thing on YouTube.
Yeah. Yeah, and she would do that. And I'm like,
sick.
No.
It
no.
makes me like want to be sick, but I can't look away. I just can't.
Oh,
I got to see it.
If you're one of those people, I don't know how you do it. Anyways, I think they're called. Are they boop?
Boobo tubers.
Yeah, boobo tubers.
I love how Jim Dale does Professor Sprout's voice because she's like, boobo tuber puss.
Boobo tuber puss.
Boobo tuber puss.
I was like, how accurate was that, though?
Boobo tuber puss.
Boobo tuber.
That makes me literally, I'm glad I didn't eat breakfast.
Well, let's talk about vomit. The puss. The puss that they will be collecting is extremely valuable. You need to wear dragonhide gloves. I thought you were going to cough.
No, I want to raise my hand, but finish.
Okay. Because the pus can do funny things to the skin it's when sick. Undiluted. And I said, cool.
This is foreshadowing to Hermione getting this in an envelope. This is why we're learning about it. Because then she gets it in an envelope from somebody and it gets all over her hands and she has to run to the hospital wing.
That reminds me of
right,
anthrax.
Because of, mm-hmm. yes.
Yeah. Because of the articles, Rita.
Rita? Wow. Okay. But the fun thing is, it can help with the more stubborn forms of acne. How appropriate for a school with these aged kids.
Think about that, though. You're fixing pus with pus.
Right. Dr. Pimple Popper.
Madam Pomfrey's her second job.
Really? We find out that some Hogwarts students, such as Eloise, what do you say?
Midgen.
Listen to you guys with all your pronunciations because of Jim Dale.
Midgen is what he says.
Midgen. I'll say it because I don't know otherwise. It's not Knuts.
I think it's Midgen.
Oh my God.
She tried to curse her pimples off.
I'm not going to lie. I probably would have tried that as
yikes,
a teenager.
But a curse? Ooh. Apparently,
well, just like kind of touching it with your wand, being like, go away.
Well, let's
see what happens.
This is what happens. Apparently, it took her whole nose off.
Yeah.
But the champ of the hospital wing put it back on.
She wanted to really be like her idol, Lord Voldemort.
Oh my God.
Or maybe she was trying to take a piece out like
maybe
Moody.
That's what happened to Voldy.
He's trying to fix it.
He's Tom Riddle. He's yeah. Tom Riddle. He's like, I just can't look like this.
This blackhead's killing me.
Oh no, my nose is gone. This looks like a snake. Cool.
Yeah, really.
Cool, man.
And then I found a really fun article on Pottermore, the highs, lows, and health hazards of herbology.
That is cool.
So it says, where most muggles' biology lessons might involve planting cress or dissecting leaves, herbology classes at Hogwarts were liable to be more dangerous affair. From studying mandrakes whose screams can literally kill you to the rather unpleasant task of harvesting bubo tuber paws, it's amazing that student wizards ever made it out of the school alive, much less with their owls. So they just talk about a couple of instances throughout the series. So working with plants at Hogwarts could be simply disgusting, such as the booba tuber's thick, yellowy pus, for example.
That's gross.
Very messy, such as the generous coating of stink sap, the smell of which is like rancid manure. Manure itself, yeah. But rancid manure. Oof. May turn some green fingered wizard, witches and wizards, equally green faced. Haha, good job, writer. Plants are packed full of magical uses, solving skincare, like the booba tuber pus, but also some underwater adventure stuff like gillyweed. They can be violent, like fang geraniums. It says fang geraniums are nasty nippers.
Yeah, that's cute.
And bouncing bulbs are heavy hitters. Beware. The mandrake cry. Put the earmuffs on. Devil snare. The devil snare and the flitter bloom look strikingly similar to each other. Unfortunately, one savagely strangles you and the other is harmless. So good luck to you. But the rewards are great, such as potions, ingredients, dittany. Mistletoe berries are brewed for an antidote of common poisons. So that's pretty cool. I liked that article.
That article reminds me of the herbology room that we saw at the Harry Potter exhibit in New York. Because they talked about all the different, like, real-life plants that she pulled inspiration from and stuff. Because I feel like dittany is one of them.
I don't remember. I didn't read everything there.
I think you're right. But there's a lot of stuff there.
It was a lot.
Yeah. So I'm going to read this part that's gross.
Yes, I'm so excited.
You're going to love it. This is fun for all our pimple popper friends. Squeezing the booboo tubers was disgusting, but oddly satisfying. As each swelling was popped, a large amount of thick yellowish green liquid burst forth and smelled strongly of petrol. They caught it in the bottles, as Professor Sprout had indicated, and by the end of the lesson had collected several pints.
Wow.
Yeah. So, a booming bell rings from the castle, and oh. Too much expedition roasters for you. The puffs head to Transfiguration. Lucky you. Just kidding, but really, because this next part's scary. Mm-hmm. And the Gryffindors head to Hagrid's hut on the edge of the Forbidden Forest for care of magical creatures. Hagrid was there to welcome them with Fang, a quality pooch. On the Alana just screamed. On the ground, there are several wooden crates. Fang is whining and wanting to investigate with sniffs. And the closer they got to the crates, they made an odd rattling noise. And there were some small explosions.
Do you think that she put the Slytherins and Gryffindors together for Hagrid's class? So, like, there was a buffer, so the Slytherins couldn't be mean to Hagrid.
I think it was probably just always that way.
I feel like I feel like all three of the other classes would have been a good buffer, though. Like, I don't think that anybody
would...
Do they have
divination by themselves?
Or I don't know. Ravenclaw? I think they're with Ravenclaw.
I don't know.
She didn't say it in the chapter.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a good question.
I feel like they are usually with Ravenclaw.
I feel like every time I remember, it's the stinking movies.
And it's I know, and it's everybody.
Well,
like,
there's
just a mixture.
Is it everybody?
It's just like a mixture in the movies.
It's mostly Gryffindors, because that's the only school
that matters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
the only house there.
I'm just kidding, other houses. But am I? Just kidding.
I mean, we now know that Ravenclaw's massively underrepresented.
Truth.
You're the most
the least represented of all the houses now, especially after Fantastic Beasts.
Maybe there'll be a really BA Ravenclaw and the Fantastic.
Maybe we'll get a Gilderoy Lockhart spinoff.
I don't want any merch because it's not the right colors. I won't buy it.
True.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's my rant.
Get your act together.
Good thing you have my mom and your sister to make you proper Ravenclaw merch.
Very true.
Yeah, but they can't like make me a t-shirt.
Knit you a t-shirt.
Oh my god.
My sister is going to try to make me a Quidditch
sweater. They can design. Y'all can design Ravenclaw stuff.
Yeah, we can make some Ravenclaw merch.
I mean, how often do I wear t-shirts? Let's be honest.
Well, what like, you want? Spin-off non-copyrighted Ravenclaw merch.
Non-copyrighted.
Eaglefoot.
So next up, as Tiffany just said, is Care of Magical Creatures. So Hagrid says that they'd better wait for the Slytherins because they don't want to miss this. Blast ended Scroots. So Lavender Brown literally screams. Hold on, I'm going to do a Jim Dale impression again. She goes, ugh, which Harry thinks just about sums them up. So Blast ended Scroots are a strange hybrid creature bred by crossing manticores and fire crabs. So I knew what manticores were, but I had never actually seen like a visual representation of them.
They're scary.
They're really terrifying looking. And I'm really curious to know how the heck Hagrid got these guys to make a baby.
With a fire crab.
Right. So manticore is one of the most dangerous creatures. It is a 5X classification, according to the Fantastic Beasts books. It has a humanoid head, which is terrifying, a lion body, and a scorpion tail with a stinger. And the manticore's skin repels all known charms, so it's effectively hard to subdue one with magic. And it is known to be capable of human speech.
Oh.
Yeah.
I don't like this.
It's like a sphinx, but scarier, you know? Because, like, a sphinx isn't... I mean, like, it has lion paws and everything, and it could surely harm you.
I feel like a sphinx is dangerous because of its logic.
Agreed.
And then it'll attack you. It's, like, very tricky. But this one looks like it would just attack you because it wants to attack you.
Yeah. Agreed. And it has claws, fangs, and a stinger that it can attack you with.
No, thank
so
you.
That's fun. They originated in Greece, and they are as rare as the Chimera, which... That's what we see in Fantastic Beasts, right? That's the Chinese, like, lion-like animal that Newt has to subdue with a little kitty toy, which is adorable. So the sting of the manticore causes instant death, and it is reputed to croon softly to its victims as it devours them. Like, this thing is terrifying. But, okay, yeah. Next is the fire crab. Does anybody remember the fire crabs from the games back in the day? They looked like turtles, but they had little gems on their shells.
Yes, I remember that.
Yeah, so they are, as Gilderoy says, nasty little pests that shoot hot flame out of, well, at you.
Oh my god.
So basically they have lethal farts, is what I take from that.
That's the only one.
But they are a tortoise-like crab creature native to Fiji. That's cool. They live in a pretty beautiful area.
Oh, my God. They're like the crab from Moana.
Oh, yeah.
What's his name?
Oh, I don't know.
I can't think of it now. I'll look it up. Keep going.
Oh, shoot. He's got all the jewels on his back.
Yeah,
oh.
He's so shiny.
Toma Toa. Thank
Toma
you,
Toa.
Eddie.
Toma Toa. Thank you.
So the fire crab is a protected species, and a reservation has been created to protect this species from muggles who would value the jeweled shell and wizards who use the shells as cauldrons. Oh. They are sold and exported as pets, but the owners require a special license, and the ministry states that a competent wizard should be able to cope with this animal. It's only a 3X classification. And yes, I want to say that this is legitimately like the inspiration for Toma Toa from Moana. Because he has a jeweled shell, except he lives down in the ocean.
He's so shiny.
He's so shiny.
It's time to kick your
hiney. Yep. So that's the two things that the Blast Ended Scroot is a combination of. So
what do they make?
Blast Ended Scroot.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I'm saying they make something that's like totally...
They look deformed. They're shell-less lobsters, horribly pale and slimy looking, with legs sticking out in very odd places and no visible heads. Hagrid has about 100 in each crate, and they're each about 6 inches long, crawling over one another, bumping blindly into the sides of the boxes, and they are giving off a very powerful smell of rotting fish. Every now and then, sparks would fly out of the end of a scroot, and with a small futt, it would be propelled forward several inches, and that is the blast. So there is some articles on Pottermore. And also, oh, they're like the same thing. The other one's just a picture. Mm-hmm. So this one is a picture of what we imagine. That watercolor is actually really nice.
Look at
of
its
what
leash.
It looks like. But it's got like a leash just wrapped around the middle of its body. They're a dangerous and illegal cross between a fire crab and a manticore, as I said. So this is, yeah, they're illegal. Hagrid made these, and this just is, they're just, it's
are we
something.
Sure he made them?
He didn't make them. He set them up to be made.
Yeah. I mean, I think it was like his idea.
He made them a nice romantic spaghetti dinner.
Props.
Candles.
Yeah. They did Lady of the Tramp.
Yes. So the males have the stings on them while females have suckers on the bottom of their bellies. Which is just... Yeah.
They just get worse the more you talk about them.
So right now they don't really have shells at all. However, we know that they do get like armor that grows in over their shell-less lobster-like bodies.
Ugh, they're so gross.
And the armor cannot be penetrated by spells, which is very similar to the manticore.
And
so
dragons.
They take that on from the manticore side of them. They sting you or they suck your blood. And they also have a blasting end that shoots out fire at random intervals.
Dear Joe, I want to know why.
So she can put it in the maze.
Yeah, but why this?
Oh my gosh. Allegiance. None whatsoever will attack and kill other Scroots. They literally kill each other. I mean, like, that's how they only get down to what? Like a handful of them towards the end of the school year? They've killed each other.
Humans also kill each other.
I mean, true.
What is wrong with you?
Do you think Hagrid buries them all? Like, is the forest just full of
these? Oh my gosh, probably.
What if he feeds them to, like, the acromantulas?
Oh, he probably does. You're
nice,
right.
Nice screw dinner, lots of butter. They need to wear bibs on it.
They boil them. Put a little garlic in the butter. Yes.
Yum.
Hagrid is so excited because they've just hatched and this is their project for the year. They're going to raise them themselves. Oh my gosh.
Joy.
So exciting.
They don't do a great job. How many are left at the end?
So Malfoy, being Malfoy, asks, why would we want to raise them? What do they do? And I say, you'll raise them because the teacher said so, you little git. Why you gotta be so questiony? Just do it.
But... Fair point, Malfoy.
I mean,
why?
Absolutely.
Why?
But we don't know. There might be some great thing about them.
That's yeah, what Hermione's,
we never find out.
Hermione is so nice. She's like, oh, maybe we'll find out something. But
she's so nice in this chapter to Hagrid, yeah. My main man.
Although I will say later, she's like, you know, I just said that to get Malfoy off Hagrid's back.
But I appreciate her.
But yeah, it's yeah, still, sure. You know.
Because she's like, dragons could kill you. You don't keep them as a pet, but their stuff's useful.
And then useful. Don't they say something like, yeah, but he did keep a dragon as a pet.
Not terribly long.
I don't know what happened. A dog bit me.
And it's green pus.
So they are to feed them ant eggs, frog livers, and grass snakes.
Sounds delicious.
No thanks.
That's my bigger favorite breakfast. Ant eggs. Yeah. What is this? A center for ants?
What do you pick them up with?
Maybe tweezers? It's just like, you know, like if you think like caviar or something. Like so it's just like you give them a big scoop and they eat it.
Caviar,
you know?
How many ants, man? We're going to be raising the ants now.
A lot.
Ants, so, man. Ant-Man.
I just liked this little paragraph from the book. It says, nothing but deep affection for Hagrid could have made Harry, Ron, and Hermione pick up squelchy handfuls of frog liver and lower them into the crates to tempt the blast-ended Scroots.
Tempt them.
Harry couldn't suppress the suspicion that the whole thing was entirely pointless because the Scroots didn't seem to have mouths. Fair. So... The males, oh, I already said this, they have stingers. The females have sucker things. These things sound awful. We get reminded of Norbert here, and I again wanted to read that from the chapter, which is on the next page. Just because they're not very pretty, it doesn't mean they're not useful, snapped Hermione. Dragon's blood's amazingly magical, but you wouldn't want a dragon for a pet, would you? Harry and Ron grinned at Hagrid, who gave them a furtive smile from behind his bushy beard. Hagrid would have liked nothing better than a pet dragon, as Harry, Ron, and Hermione knew only too well. He had owned one for a brief period during their first year, a vicious Norwegian Ridgeback by the name of Norbert. I was going to say Norberta, which is why that came out funny. Norbert, a.k.a. Norberta, because she's a girl. And we'll find that out. I think that this is foreshadowing because we actually do find out about Norberta from Charlie later in the book.
Doesn't he say the females are like particularly nasty?
Yeah.
She's a lady.
I mean, then I said, is this foreshadowing just in general to the dragons, let alone Charlie coming? But I think that it kind of is.
I like to think because she does things like this to be like, and I think about this when you're watching TV shows and do a little recap. You're like, oh, that's going to be important when it was like however many chapters ago or how many episodes. Mm-hmm. So she's like, dragons, they're still a thing. Yeah. Remember that.
Don't forget them. Mm-hmm. So at lunch, after Care of Magical Creatures is over, Hermione is eating as fast as she possibly can so that she can get to the library. And Ron is immediately suspicious.
Boring.
What is she up to? We'll find out. Next up is divination. And I had another read from chapter, which goes, okay, so this is Trelawney talking to Harry. You are preoccupied, my dear.
That's not Trelawney's voice by Megan.
Trelawney.
You are preoccupied, my dear, she said mournfully to Harry. My inner eye sees past your brave face to the troubled soul within, and I'd regret to say that your worries are not baseless. I see difficult times ahead for you, alas, most difficult. I fear the thing you dread will indeed come to pass, and perhaps sooner than you think. Her voice dropped almost to a whisper, and Ron rolled his eyes.
Yeah.
But let's break down what she just said. So he has a troubled soul. What has been on Harry's mind?
Scar.
His dream.
Dreams.
Yeah. So his worries are not baseless. What is going on with Voldemort? Should he be worried? Clearly he should be. We know. The thing you dread will indeed come to pass, perhaps sooner than you think. So what Harry says in this chapter is not what I think this is talking about, but he says, let me see, where is it? I fear the thing, where did it go? Harry's thoughts drifted. The perfumed fire always made him feel sleepy and dull-witted, and Professor Trelawney's rambling talks on fortune-telling never held him exactly spellbound, though he couldn't help thinking about what she had just said to him. I fear the thing you dread will indeed come to pass. Unless you counted his fears that Sirius had been caught. But did Professor Trelawney know? He had long since come to the conclusion that her brand of fortune-telling was really no more than lucky guesswork in a spooky manner. Except, of course, for the first time at the end of last term when she had made the prediction about Voldemort rising again. So I think that the thing he's dreading will come to pass perhaps sooner than he thinks is possibly the whole idea that he witnessed a conversation about Voldemort planning to kill him, and his attempt will be coming soon. We know this. And I think that Trelawney may be annoying, but she's pretty legit. I think that that's more than lucky guesswork. Well, she can read it off of him.
And I think that Harry's view of her has changed as much as, like, he doesn't like divination and... What?
Nothing. It's coming.
Oh. As much as he doesn't like divination, but he has more respect for Trelawney now.
I agree. After that.
Like, Ron...
He didn't witness that.
Right. So he can't feel that as much.
I think they talk about that either in this chapter or the next, and they're like, come on. And he's like, no, you weren't there.
Yeah.
Like, it was real.
Yeah.
So Harry is drifting off while thinking about all of this. And then again, Trelawney making some predictions about him. He comes out of it, and I didn't do a good job writing that, what I wanted to say right here. I'm sorry, guys.
It's okay.
So she's actually, like, about, she's talking again, and he has, like, drifted off. And Ron, like, I imagine Ron just being like, Harry, wake up. And he goes, what? Harry looked around. The whole class was staring at him. He sat up straight. He had been almost dozing off, lost in the heat and his thoughts. I was saying, my dear, that you were clearly born under the baleful influence of Saturn, said Professor Trelawney, a faint note of resentment in her voice at the fact that he had obviously not been hanging on her words. Born under what? Sorry, Saturn, dear. The planet Saturn, said Professor Trelawney, sounding definitely irritated that he wasn't riveted by this news. I was saying that Saturn was surely in a position of power in the heavens at the moment of your birth. Your dark hair, your mean stature, tragic losses so young in life. I think I am right in saying, my dear, that you were born in midwinter. No, said Harry. I was born in July.
I love that.
Hold on. Before you go on, I like Ron's response, and I literally wrote, that would be me.
Ron hastily turned his laugh into a hacking cough.
That would be me.
That's definitely Sarah.
I'd probably be crying and laughing so hard, but I'm like...
But again, Trelawney, is she reading Voldemort in Harry?
Ooh!
Because Voldemort was born in midwinter.
Technically, he wasn't, because winter starts on December 22nd, and his birthday's the 30th.
But it's 31st. Winter.
I mean, yes. Just saying. Want to get real technical, it wasn't midwinter, but
that's Maddie.
And okay. Whenever you see Voldemort, he does have darker hair.
Yes,
he has a mean stature.
Yeah,
and he had tragic losses young in life.
Yeah, I like that.
I think that she's talking about Voldemort here.
Also, though, he caused a lot of tragic losses in his young life.
True.
Well, yeah, definitely.
That's true.
So then the last little funny bit here.
Jeez, she would do this.
I did wrote. Right in my book, maybe one day.
So Seamus,
yes,
Seamus and Dean, who were working nearby, sniggered loudly, though not loudly enough to mask the excited squeals from Lavender Brown. What?
Vinny says. Also, Saturn is the regent of Capricorn, which is Voldemort's sign.
Whoa. Very cool.
Interesting.
Very cool.
Nice.
So, as you know, my brother and father are both Capricorns.
Are they evil?
No, but they're very similar people. Marty's my dad. Like, they're very similar.
So Lavender goes, oh, Professor, look, I think I've got an unexpected planet. Ooh, which one's that, Professor? It is Uranus, my dear, said Professor Trelawney, peering down at the chart. Can I have a look at Uranus too, Lavender? said Ron. Most unfortunately, Professor Trelawney heard him, and it was this, perhaps, that made her give them so much homework at the end of class. I said, is this foreshadowing to dating Lav?
I think that if Mrs. Weasley would have heard you say that, you would have been in trouble.
I would have said something like that in front of my mom just so, like, she would be like, oh, my God.
I also wrote something really inappropriate, which I just think is hilarious, but I won't read it. But people who get the notes will probably see it. Trelawney doesn't appreciate the humor and dumps a ton of homework on them, and Ron calls her a miserable old bat. And I said, maybe don't disrespect her. Just saying.
You shouldn't. Naughty, naughty.
But I think that this is a little toss in the bucket about maybe they are going to have a thing.
Yeah, could be.
I don't know.
Oh, Ron. Jeez. Okay. Here we go. Attention, dear swishers. Adventurers out there. In the form of coffee. Why settle for ordinary chain store coffee when you can have an adventure in every cup with Expedition Roasters, artisanal roasters of pop culture coffees. Now you can experience a little theme park magic every day at your home. Each themed bag features a custom artwork by a guest artist that make it perfect for displaying in your kitchen or your office. Try one of our premium wizarding roasts like Booksmart Blueberry, Charming Chocolate Cherry, Cunning Caramel Crunch, or Big Hearted Butterscotch. All our coffees are certified gluten and allergen free, so start your coffee adventure today at expeditionroasters.com and use coupon code SWISHFLICK15 to save 15% off your first purchase. Brew your happy place, y'all. What are we having today?
Enchanted tiki coconut.
And I am not a coconut person. And I like it. This is my second cup, actually. It's very subtle.
It's subtle. And for anybody who doesn't know, it's based off of the Enchanted Tiki Room at the Magic Kingdom.
I didn't know that. But
how does that sound?
In the tiki, 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 tiki room. In the tiki, 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 tiki room.
I'll dance to it.
Also, put the lime in the coconut and stir it all up.
Yeah.
All right.
With the lime and the coconut.
Katie, is this your favorite flavor?
Not my favorite, but I really do like
it. What is your favorite one?
Blueberry.
No.
That's mine. Book smart. Blueberry is so good.
Maybe the s'mores. The campfire s'mores.
Oh, the campfire s'mores is good. That's based off of like Toy Story. Woody's Roundup.
I need to try more flavors. We need to get the dark side one.
We should.
Over.
Lady Supreme demands it.
She does. We need to tell them about this.
All right.
It's our little secret.
All right.
Today's show is brought to you by Audible. Audible's offering our listeners a free audiobook with a 30-day trial membership. So you can go to audibletrial.com/swishflickcast and browse the unmatched selection of audio programs. Download a title free and start listening. It's really that easy. So go to audible.com/swishflickcast to get started today.
Do it.
Audible content includes audiobooks, original audio news, original audio shows, news, comedy, and more from the leading audiobook publishers, broadcasters, and entertainers. You can get all 7 of the Harry Potter books, Fantastic Beasts, Quidditch Through the Ages, History of Magic, and a behind-the-scenes audiobook of Crimes of Grindelwald with Dan Fogler.
It's Jacob.
Oh my gosh. So I listen to all of the Harry Potter books on Audible on my long drives to and from work because I have a 45-minute drive, and I know a lot of our listeners listen to us because they have long drives. Yeah. So
we hear that all the time.
I know.
Yeah.
But when you're waiting for a Swish and Flick episode, you could always just use Audible to listen to one of the books. So. Yeah. I do it all the time. So if you want to download your free audiobook today, go to audibletrial.com/swishflickcast.
Sounds good.
Yes.
We all love right. Audible.
And coffee.
I like legitimately do love Audible though.
Yeah. I have a couple of books on there. I need to get some more. I need to do the, well, I don't know.
I got Lord of the Rings to actually try and listen to it.
That's a really good idea.
Because I think I do better listening than reading. I just, like, my house, I don't have, like, a good spot to go and read because there's always, like, stuff going on. Like, there's other people who aren't reading or whatever. So, like, I listen. That's, like, the best way that I can actually take in.
You need, like, a reading nook in your new house.
I really do. All
right. I do. Let's go to the ELO.
Okay. The trio meets up to head down to dinner, and Ron's pretty salty about all that homework he forced everybody to have because, you know, he had to make a comment. And it's a detailed analysis of the way the planetary movements in the coming months will affect you with reference to your personal chart. And I point that out because that leads to one of my favorite moments in this book when him and Harry are just like making stuff up and Trelawney eats it
literally
up.
The best, and she loves it.
She loves
That's
it.
Like one of my favorite things. Yes. And he's like, all right, so no, you can't get hurt that day because you get like,
you gotta be sure that you're, you know, spacing these out enough.
They always make like they don't have normal days. Like when they chart, they're like always like, he's like, doesn't he talk about like how she like eats that stuff up or something?
Mm-hmm. And then Hermione's like, you're drowning twice.
Oh, am I? I should change that.
Did he change it to something else that's awful?
So Hermione was like, oh, do you have a lot of homework? Professor Vector didn't give us any at all. Like, who are you? Why are you cheery about this? Don't you love homework? You're Hermione.
Just because she hates divination so much. She's got to rub it in their face.
True. So Malfoy calls after Ron as they're walking to dinner, and he's looking very pleased. And he reads very loudly, so everyone around them can hear, a news clipping. Further mistakes at the Ministry of Magic. It seems as though the Ministry of Magic's troubles are not yet at an end, writes Rita Skeeter, special correspondent. Recently under fire for its poor crowd control at the Quidditch World Cup and still unable to account for the disappearance of one of its witches, the Ministry was plunged into fresh embarrassment yesterday by the antics of Arnold Weasley of the Misuse of Muggle Artifacts Office. Malfoy looked up. Imagine them not even getting his name right, Weasley. It's almost as though he's a complete non-entity, isn't it? He crowed. Everyone in the entrance hall was listening now. Malfoy straightened the paper with a flourish and read on. Arnold Weasley, who was charged with possession of a flying car 2 years ago, was yesterday involved in a tussle with several Muggle lawkeepers, policemen, over a number of highly aggressive dustbins. Mr. Weasley appears to have rushed to the aid of Mad-Eye Moody, the aged ex-Auror who retired from the ministry when no longer able to tell the difference between a handshake and attempted murder. Unsurprisingly, Mr. Weasley found, upon arrival, that Mr. Moody's heavily guarded house arrived at Mr. Moody's heavily guarded house, that Mr. Moody had once again raised a false alarm. Mr. Weasley was forced to modify several memories before he could escape from the policeman, but refused to answer Daily Prophet questions about why he had involved the ministry in such an undignified and potentially embarrassing scene. And there's a picture, Weasley, said Malfoy, flipping the paper over and holding it up. A picture of your parents outside their house, if you can call it a house. Your mother could do with losing a bit of weight, couldn't she?
He is literally the worst.
So Ron is shaking with fury. Everyone's staring at him. Harry tells Malfoy to get stuffed, and he's just trying to be like, Ron, come on, like, just let it go. And Malfoy's like, well, you were staying with them all summer. Is Ron's mom really that porky?
Oh, I would lose my mind.
I don't know how Harry didn't. He says, you know, your mother, Malfoy, that expression she's got, like she's got dung under her nose. Has she always looked like that? Or was it just because you were with her?
I mean, like, what a clapback.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly.
Malfoy's like, don't you dare insult my mother. And Harry's like, well, okay. Keep your fat mouth shut.
Here's the thing. Don't insult my mom, but I can insult me.
Right.
No. Goodness gracious.
Bullying.
People.
So Harry's like, keep your mouth shut. And he turns to walk away.
Good for Harry.
Yeah.
Well, you guys aren't going to like what I have to say. So, all right. What do I always say before my section?
All rise.
It's like dark in here. I can't see my pages. No, like the way that the light is hitting my book, it's like
a shadow. Do you want that lamp?
No, it's all right.
All right.
It's not like so dark I can't read.
Well, I don't know.
Bang. Several people screamed. Harry felt something white hot graze the side of his face. He plunged his hand into his robes for his wand, but before he even touched it, he heard a second loud bang and a roar that echoed through the entrance hall.
Rawr.
Oh, no, you don't, laddie. I'm not going to try to do an accent. So Harry spun around. Professor Moody was limping down the marble staircase. His wand was out and pointing right at a white, pure white ferret. So everyone in the hallway was deathly quiet, and nobody but Moody was moving a muscle.
Were they deathly hallows?
Sure. So Moody looked with his normal eye to Harry to make sure that he wasn't hit, and then yells to Crabbe while he's still looking at Harry, who's behind him. Crabbe's behind him with his magical eye, which we find out, because it must be magical. He can see through the back of his head. Because Crabbe's about to pick up Malfoy the ferret, but he told him to leave it.
What was he going to do with it? You don't know how to turn him back.
Right. No.
So then Malfoy...
I'm going to keep you as a pet.
Malfoy the ferret tries to run for Moody, who is advancing on him. Moody points his wand at him again and then has Malfoy the ferret fly 10 feet into the air. And oof. Then he fell with a smack to the ground oof. Just to bounce again. Oof. And he says, I don't like people who attack their opponents... when their backs turned, growled Moody as the ferret bounced higher and higher, squealing in pain. Stinking, cowardly, scummy thing to do. And then he says, never do that again. So McGee's coming down the stairs. Her arms are full of books and is shocked by the scene that's in front of her. And she asks Moody.
This is really good in the movie.
Mm-hmm. It is.
I like when he puts them down Crabbe's pants.
So she says...
What? Not amused.
What are you doing? Said Professor McGonagall, her eyes following the bouncing ferret's progress through the air. Teaching, said Moody. Moody, is that a student? Shrieked Professor McGonagall, the book spilling out of her arms. Yep, said Moody. No, cried Professor McGonagall, running down the stairs and pulling out her wand. A moment later, with loud snapping noise, Draco Malfoy had reappeared, lying in a heap on the floor with his sleek blonde hair all over his now brilliantly pink face. He got to his feet, wincing. And then she's like, Moody, we never use transfiguration as a punishment. Surely Professor Dumbledore told you that. He's like, yeah, he might have mentioned it, yeah. I have a lot of things to say.
Funny.
No. I think it's horrendous.
I mean, yes. It was written for comedy.
But it's horrendous.
But when you dig deeper...
It's like, not this okay. is what I have to say. I'm like, I get that Malfoy is not a nice person. At all. Like, he was super just mean to Ron, said some horrible things, but it honestly, and I was doing my notes, and it was making me sick to think that a teacher would do this to a student.
Yep.
It's just messed up, and yep. I don't like it. And I know that people are like, eh, it's Malfoy. I don't care.
Mm-hmm. I think that's valid.
I like what Eddie said in the chat. He says, the scene is great, but then I remind myself that he's a Death Eater who tortured the Longbottoms, yes. and I feel guilty.
I was just going to say that.
Because you know that the real Moody obviously never would have done this. This was like something in Barty Crouch Jr.'s sick mind that he was like, yeah, that would be fun, wouldn't it? I'm going to do this to this kid.
He's probably torturing him because he's mad
at the Malfoy.
Correct.
Yeah. You're right.
It
never came back. He was the only one that was faithful. Yada, yada, yes. yada. Yeah.
I'm going to punish you because of your father's actions.
Yeah.
Like,
no, I mean, we do have to take a step back. Like, and we do have to remind ourselves, like, every time we say Moody, it's not Moody.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's Barty Crouch Jr., but we're saying Moody because he's as Moody. Craziness. But, like, no, regular Moody would have never done that. He would have relished in the fact that he could have given him a detention and written to his parents and stuff. And that would have been a fantastic punishment. Mm-hmm. And you do have to think, like, no, this is not okay.
It just, I don't know. It makes
How
me
much
sick.
Are you going to hurt him by slamming him on the ground?
Well, and my thing is, too, like, you see this nowadays where, like, especially now in the days of social media and everybody and their mother has a cell phone that can take video. And you see it come out where,
authority
you know,
figures are like types. Like
yeah, like you see
others.
Teachers being, like, abusive to students that are, like, have autism and like some people like they can't speak as well as other people to say like you know what I mean, like they can't mm-hmm. communicate as well mm-hmm. so they get frustrated and you see that it makes me want to then hit the teacher, you know what I mean, like
yeah.
no kid deserves this regardless of what they're doing
mm-hmm. and I ways just to approach it
oh,
yeah go
it
ahead,
made
Katie.
Me so angry.
This is just another example of me reading this as an adult, like as a kid
oh yeah
this
was
hilarious
kid, that was funny
oh but it now was great like, as a kid
now it's like that's wrong.
Yeah. Like, I
no
remember
way.
Seeing it in the movie theater and just, like, the whole theater was just laughing yeah. so much during mm-hmm. this part. But, like, taking a step back and being, like, a teacher's doing that to a student. Like, that's not okay.
It's so messed up.
Yeah, and I kind of wonder if she does, like, stuff like this with double...
Oh, definitely. I
like,
think of, like...
Like, she writes for kids, like, you know, kids are going to find this hilarious, but,
adults
like...
Adults might mm-hmm. not.
It's jumping ahead a little bit. It's like when... Fake Moody. I feel like I need to say fake Moody so I
can
separate it.
You can just call
him
Foodie.
Here we go.
He doesn't deserve that title.
That's true.
Oh, my God.
Real Moody.
Right, true.
Fake Moody brings out the spider and makes a tap dance, and the kids yeah. laugh. And he goes, oh, you think that's funny, do you?
Yeah.
And they immediately, they shut up well, because you have to think, mm-hmm. yeah,
oh,
I can
wait,
make this spider do that,
them.
But I can make this spider do other things, mm-hmm. too.
Yeah, like it could be innocent,
wanna, yeah.
or it could be
right. And I don't want to get too far into that because that's yeah, literally yeah, yeah. the next episode. But it's like that. Everything is double, and it's where are you at when you're reading it. So I'm sure some of our listeners that are like 12, you know, maybe they're thinking, yeah, this is pretty funny. But if you are a young listener, you need to step outside of that and look at this and realize, like, oh, you know, this isn't okay.
But yeah, not right. even, like, I even, back when I was older than 12, you know, reading it.
I threw out that as a...
I know, I'm just saying, like, even adults need to take a step back and be like, oh, wow, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, everyone should take a step back and realize, like...
This could
you
be
might
foreshadowing
not, yes.
for that spider incident later,
And you
too.
Might not like Malfoy, true. But nobody deserves that, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I wouldn't wish that
Except
on anyone.
Except maybe Umbridge.
Well, she's a whole other being. I'm going to read a little bit more from the chapter, but I found some stuff on Pottermore that, like, because I wanted to see if there's anything out there, like, about Malfoy being a ferret. And they have an article that's Professor McGonagall's most memorable moments and talks about a bunch of stuff. I'm not going to read it because it's not important to this. But it's the one part says, when she was rescued a certain ferret from punishment. It says, the moment Malfoy was transformed into a ferret by an irate Moody will stay with us forever. Luckily for Draco, Professor McGonagall realized what was going on. And then it has the bit from the chapter where she's like, what are you doing? She's like, is that a student? Ah. and then right underneath it, it's when she put Umbridge in her place.
Oh, the best.
And then there's another article that's every time Draco Malfoy was just too Draco. And in this, it
honestly,
It's like the time that he was turned into a ferret, and it's like in year four. Draco tried to jinx Harry from behind. Professor Moody turned him into a ferret for its trouble. It was brilliant because Draco, with his pointed face, was just so ferrety. But if he were an animal, a ferret is definitely what he'd be. Maybe his Patronus was a ferret, and he summoned it by thinking about himself. Once he'd been returned to human form, he muttered something about the word, which, in which the words "my father" were distinguishable. So the only entire debacle could have been any more Draco if he'd been losing to Harry at Quidditch at the time. Which, I mean, I think still think this is messed up. It's whatever. I could go on forever talking about how dumb it is.
Let's go back to him trying to curse Harry behind his back, too, though. Coward.
I know.
Here's my thing.
Oh.
If you have something to say to somebody, then you better have the guts to say it to their face. And if you're going to try and go after him and do whatever you're going to do, do it to his face. I don't like the sneakiness. I don't like liars, and I don't like sneakiness.
I agree.
It drives me nuts.
We also have to remember that they're 14-year-old kids. You know what I mean? So they have a little bit of growing up to do. And I, at this point in time, he is like that spoiled little kid that, you know, my father's going to hear about this. He's going to grow up, and he's going to, unfortunately, learn from his mistakes. You know what I mean?
But I think the reason why he did it behind his back is because he knows if he would have done it full on face to face.
Harry would have won.
Correct.
Yeah.
And that's why he did it. He was like, oh, I have a moment.
Yes. So then I also just Googled ferrets. So the harrypotter.fandom.com, they have a little thing. Ferrets are small, muslid, I don't know if that's how you pronounce it, four-legged mammals, domesticated forms of the European polecat. Shout out to Seven Brides for Seven Brothers.
Hagrid, too. Didn't he have polecats?
Yeah. Cat. I love that song. And then it has like a bunch of places where in history of the Harry Potter universe where ferrets were like a thing. And I guess in one of the video games, Squibbert once transformed a teapot into a ferret. Now, here's my question. If he killed a ferret, would that break the teapot?
Squibbert. Is that any relation to Squidward?
I don't know.
I hope so.
And then it was chased by a rather large Slytherin student with a net. So it sounds like SpongeBob when he's trying to catch jellyfish. But that's from like some video game. And then during a ministry raid on Mortlake's house in August 1992, some extremely old ferrets were found. Harry and Ron watched, Buckbeak eat a lot of dead ferrets.
Come get the nice juicy ferret.
Then we know that Malfoy was turned into one. And then later that year during the Yule Ball, Crouch, still disguised as Moody, sat in a chair with a ferret sleeping on his lap, tapping his artificial leg to the music.
That's so weird.
But I wonder, that might be from the film.
I think it is. Yeah. But
During the next school year, student Hannah Abbott, who eventually marries Neville Longbottom, accidentally turned a ferret into a flock of flamingos during her transfiguration practical. OWL.
How does that work? How do you turn one animal into a flock of a whole nother animal?
Ask Hannah.
Hannah.
Dear Hannah.
And then, look at that. In 2017, Albus Severus Potter was seen with a ferret in a birdcage when he was about to board the Hogwarts Express. And then there's, like, I guess, a Daily Prophet newsletter, and it says someone wrote to the Daily Prophet's problem page to ask if ministry would look the other way if he turned his brother's children into blood-sucking ferrets. The answer was no.
A lot of ferrets. A person I know has a ferret. And it goes potty in a kitty box.
Ferrets are cool, ferrets but they smell.
Aren't they a little funny, stinky,
but
though?
They are really stinky. Yeah.
There's a website called thesprucepets.com that was just updated a couple days ago. It says, top 10 reasons ferrets make good pets.
Give them to me.
Ferrets are cute. Pets. Ferrets are playful and curious. Ferrets are sociable, friendly, and affectionate. Ferrets are intelligent. Ferrets are quiet. Ferrets are small. Ferrets are easy to feed. Ferrets can be litter trained. Ferrets are easy to exercise. Ferrets have distinct personalities. And that's it.
That's 10.
Our friend had a ferret who liked to roll up into a ball and have you throw it across the room like a bowling ball, and then it would run back to you to do it again.
Yep. And then, let's see, the name ferret, this is from the Wikipedia.
What was its name? Go ahead.
Sid Vicious.
Oh, Sid Vicious.
Oh, my gosh.
I love it.
So the name ferret is derived from the Latin furetus, I think, meaning little thief, a likely reference to the common ferret penchant for secreting away small items. So that's cool.
That's little
a thief. A male ferret is called a hob, and a female is called a Jill.
That's interesting.
Yeah. A spayed female is a sprite, and a neutered male is a gib.
Huh. Why?
I don't know. And a vasectomized male is also known as a hoblet.
Wait, is it a gib or a jib?
I would say gib.
Katie. And it says ferrets under 1 year are known as kits. A group of ferrets is known as a business. And then other words are difficult. Other purported collective nouns including beziness, fezziness, fezzing, and feming, I don't know, appear in some dictionaries, but are also certainly ghost words, which I don't know what a ghost word is.
What is a ghost word?
This is all from Wikipedia, so you never know how true any of this is.
Somebody's in there like, they're called a business.
A ghost word is a word published in a dictionary or similarly authoritative reference work, having rarely, if ever, been used in practice and hitherto having been meaningless.
How many people do you think Wikipedia ferrets?
And then they also have... okay, so let me read from the chapter and then I'll go on. Because there is a picture, which makes me, it makes me so sad that they're like, I don't know. It just makes me sad. So there's a picture on Pottermore about Draco learns his lesson. It's just not a good teaching lesson. You know what I mean? Don't do this. And if you think this is funny, I don't know what to say to you. I'm just being honest. I think it's horrendous. But anyways, we know he gets turned into a ferret. Blah, blah, blah. There's a picture on Pottermore. So let me read for the chapter. So Malfoy, whose pale eyes were still watering with pain and humiliation, looked malevolently up at Moody and muttered something in the which the words "my father" were distinguishable. And then Moody goes, "Oh yeah," said Moody quietly, limping forward a few steps, the dull clunk of his wooden leg echoing around the hall. "Well, I know your father of old, boy. You tell him Moody's keeping close eye on his son. You tell him that, wow, you tell him that from me." That doesn't sound right. "Now your head of house will be Snape, will it?" "Yes," said Malfoy resentfully. "Another old friend," growled Moody. "I've been looking forward to a chat with old Snape. Come on, you."
Snape.
Just awful. So then Moody drags Malfoy off to go see Snapey Snape. And so McGee like goes to follow, and then she like turns around to collect her books, and then continues with them. So then Ron tells Harry and Hermione to not talk to him, and Hermione's shocked. She's really surprised, and she goes, "Well, why?" And he says, "Because I want to fix that in my memory forever," said Ron, his eyes closed and an uplifted expression on his face. Draco Malfoy, that amazing bouncing ferret. And then Harry and Hermione both laughed. And then Hermione, being sensible, says, "He could have really hurt Malfoy, though. It was good that Professor McGonagall stopped it." And then Ron is, like, furious at Hermione's trying to ruin the best moment of his life.
Did that thing say? "I throw my ferret in the air sometimes, saying, ayo, this is Draco." Yeah.
So then Hermione takes a cue from Ron and shoves food into her mouth crazy fast because she has loads to do in the library. It's not schoolwork, though, that has her attention. It's something else.
Is Victor Croy?
Not yet. Well, I guess maybe.
So then Fred takes her seat, and then the conversation is then moved on to the subject of Moody and how they all think he's really cool. Lee literally goes, "It's super cool." And then Harry and Ron have not had his class yet, so they don't know. So Fred, George, and Lee are very impressed that Moody knows. He knows what it's like to be out there doing it. Fighting the dark arts. He's seen it all. And then Ron's disappointed that they don't have class with him until Thursday.
You know, Harry knows what it's like doing it,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, just ask him.
Fighting the dark arts. Basilisk.
He's
Voldemort.
Really done it, man.
No big deal.
That's the end of the chapter, guys.
Lightning bolt round.
We only have time for a handful of lightning bolt questions, but people have sent us a couple. Let me go back through. Dixie asked, if you saw that Malfoy bullying happen, what creature object would you turn him into? or would you want to turn him into? Because obviously you wouldn't actually do it because you ladies are classy.
That's right, we're classy, but pick an animal. A porg.
I mean, like, a ferret's really good. I think maybe...
A blast-ended Scroot.
Oh, that would be embarrassing. I don't know.
I wouldn't bang him around,
an
though.
An object. Maybe I would turn him into, like, a stone. Just let him sit in the grass for a while.
Sit in the grass and think about what you've done.
Think about what you did. You can't move.
Oh, my God. Oh, my goodness.
Let's see. There was another one up here.
Was there?
Yeah, somebody... Here it goes. Crummer Harry. No, that was last from
night.
Yesterday.
That was last night. I think we only got one. Anybody got any others? Or anybody at this table?
Whoa. Let's see. What did Bless we talk
you.
About?
Bless Who you. Would you want to be your Bless partner you. To take care of your blast-ended Scroot?
Hermione. I think she'd be sensible.
Oh, does it have to be a character?
I was going to say Meg.
Oh, it could be anybody. Her. Anybody.
Sorry.
If a character, I think Ron, because he would just make me laugh. He would just. I was like thinking that too,
but
things.
I feel like he would make me do all the work.
Right? Yeah. No, he's one of those Agreed. People that's in the group that you like never you want know doesn't do any work.
Yeah.
So you're just like, yeah, no, I'll just do it all, whatever.
My question is: take two creatures and put them together, and name them an animal.
Oh.
You're welcome, America.
A mermaid and a Grindylow, because then the mermaid would have like all the tentacles of a Grindylow and they could swim differently. That'd be fun.
But what would their thing be?
What would it be
like
called?
Those blast things out of their tuchus.
They have lots of tentacles.
Tuchus.
Yeah, they would have lots of tentacles to swim around.
Oh, you guys mean me ink.
Yeah, they could say that.
What do you think, Fazbear? What do you want to be joined up with?
Oh my God, he's doing a little head tilt.
Do you want to be another Fozzie Bear? Two Fozzie Bears.
Put I together? Want... Are they going to be Siamese dogs?
No, it's going to be like a super Fozzie Bear.
Fozzie could turn into Fluffy.
Do you want to be the fourth head on Fluffy?
I love
him. Boy?
I love when dogs do the head
he's
tilt.
He's just so freaking cute.
I would combine a Niffler and a Phoenix.
Ooh. Oh, cool. So they never dies?
It never dies.
It never dies and it steals all your money.
And it, and it loves its own gold feathers.
Aww.
It's like...
It loves...
Constantly preening
it
itself.
It would love whenever
it's
it
gonna
molts.
It's going to be like basically just like a naked phoenix. And then it's like tucking the feathers under its little fat.
I cried every burning day. Have to collect all those feathers again.
Oh my God.
That's so sad. And you see it just sitting there like... And then it's like, ooh, something on the wall.
I'm trying to think of what I would do. Maybe is it a demiguise? It's like
the invisible
thing. Invisible yeah. plus yeah. a dragon. Think about how dangerous it would be.
That's dangerous.
Combining a demiguise with like any Anything. Creature would be cool because it would just make it be invisible.
I like that.
What if only parts of it could be invisible? So you just like see a big giant dragon tail like swooshing around.
It could control its own invisibility.
Ooh, that'd be That's cool.
What if you
cool.
just saw like fangs? Or just all
that'd
of
be
a sudden
terrifying.
There's fire.
What would your clap back to Draco have been? I mean, like, Harry's was perfect.
Oh yeah. Harry's was great.
You and what army? I don't know. I always think of really good comebacks like way later
yeah.
on.
Yeah,
like,
same.
Man, I wish I would have said that.
Me too.
You suck.
Really, at least my parents love me.
What? Narcissa
no, this
loves
is
him.
Harry saying it, though.
His parents loved him more than Draco's dad loved him. Shoved him off to Voldemort. Wrong.
It is wrong.
Your hair is sticking straight up in the front. I like it.
I'm going to wash it today.
I love this question.
Okay.
Both Snape and Voldemort are Capricorns. Do you think the reason Jo has birthdays for her characters is very important to their personality and traits of their zodiac sign? And what are all of your signs?
I think yes, 100%.
Yes.
Absolutely.
I think she does it on purpose.
I think it's very important that her and Harry share a birthday.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
My sign is an Aries.
Shout out to Aries.
What is Hermione's? Is she a Libra?
I'm a Libra.
I know.
So,
but I know she's close. She's September in the middle.
Probably.
Yeah. What's
before? Oh, Hermione's a Virgo.
Virgo, got it. Yeah, she's definitely not a Libra.
I was going to say, I'm like, that would be weird. I don't. Yeah. But she does try and like diffuse situations though.
But she doesn't have a hard time deciding things.
True.
And that's, oh my God.
Oh yeah. My God. That is me. Jen's like that because she's on the cusp of Libra Scorpio. And then I'm the person like, I don't care.
I'm trying to
make a decision. I'm like, yeah. Just tell me what you want. I don't know. I'm
a Taurus, and I think that super matches Slytherin. Yeah. Just saying, any other Taurus Slytherins out there, I think it's a thing.
What do you think is like the most...
Did everybody say their sign?
Oh.
I'm an Aries as well. Yeah. Tiffany and I, birthdays are 6 days apart.
What do you think is the trait of your sign that most matches you?
Oh, stubbornness. 1,000%.
You said that so fast.
Taurus is also stubborn. And yeah, for me too.
What do you think, Katie?
Libra is like the scales. So I constantly am saying,
oh my gosh.
Oh, I see both sides of this situation. I can always see, like, I can't pick a side to something because I can see the whole situation, and it leaves me in the middle.
Here are some traits for Aries.
I looked it up,
enterprising, spontaneous, daring, active, courageous, and energetic. I like that. I'm a very adventurous person. I will try almost anything at least once.
I think the one that... describes me the most as impatient.
Oh my God. You know, I'm also impatient.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God.
I will say this. You're more impatient than I am.
I like, so if I get in my head that I want to do something, I'm going to do it and I'm going to do it now. And that is super awesome for a lot of things, but it's also really bad for a lot of things.
I think that's how a lot, because like mine, I'm just reading mine. It's me. It says, Taurus are persistent, patient, sometimes, tough, focused, sensual, realistic,
sensual,
steady, loyal, generous, friendly, loving, reliable, and tenacious. But you can also be stubborn, rigid, jealous, resentful, possessive, I don't know about, spiteful, materialistic, inflexible, and lazy.
Here are some things about
that's
Aries.
That's a lot. That made me sad.
No, it's okay, because Sarah and I have their liable to come across as selfish, jealous, coarse, ruthless, and violent.
I mean, if I'm being 1,000% honest, I will say this. So my best friend, Jen, when I first met her, she is more into like all this kind of stuff than I am.
So you.
And she goes, a lot of times she goes, when I get to know someone really well, she goes, I'll see them as like their sign. Mm-hmm. And she's like, you're, because the sign of an Aries, they're rams. She's like, you are so much an Aries. She's like, you're so stubborn. She goes, I see you as a little ram butting your head in everywhere. And mm-hmm. like, I know I'm very much. And it's funny because my brother and I are both Aries, and his birthday is just a couple days ahead of mine, but we're like totally different people. But then there's some aspects where like his Aries comes out in a different way than mine does.
Oh yes.
Oh gosh.
And then like Marty, so Tiffany's husband and my dad are both Capricorns, and they're literally the same human.
That's like me and our roommate Chris are both Taurus, but we are very different Taurus. Like, we're both stubborn, but he's more stubborn in like a passive aggressive stubborn way, and I'm more like full on stubborn. So it just like comes out in different ways. But I think it's really interesting too that Aries and Taurus are right next to each other, and we both have the stubbornness trait because we're like right close within like same months, you know?
Yeah.
Katie, read yours.
Yeah, read yours.
This is so perfect.
You are sentimental, charming, refined, loyal, fair, lighthearted, romantic, nice, diplomatic, tolerant, sociable, elegant, and seductive. But you can also be...
Seductive.
You can also be hesitant, indecisive, selfish,
no,
fragile, fearful, gullible.
Yeah.
How about that word? Indolent?
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 I don't know.
And insensitive. I don't think I'm insensitive.
You're not insensitive.
But I'm a good chunk.
Some things with Aries, like frankness. Don't ask me a direct question if you don't want me to answer it, because I'm not going to, like, very like honest with people, and I will tell you. Jen's like, she goes, well, sometimes she goes, if I really want the true answer, she's like, you're just gonna tell me. And I was like, oh well. She's like, but I know that about you. Other people, I think she's like, are a little shocked and intimidated by it. But I also know like Aries is a fire sign, and I'm a fiery person.
Correct. Marty says, ambitious, wise, disciplined, patient. Holy mackerel. But the funny thing is about when you say it's like a fire sign, I was getting a facial done. I've only ever had one, and it was a gift to me. And so she's like doing whatever she's doing, and she's like, your cheeks are turning red. She's like, you have a fiery personality, don't you? And I'm like, sometimes, yeah. And she's like, are you an Aries? And I was like, well,
yeah.
That's so funny.
No, it is funny, but I, but the thing that I think is really cool is like part of those Aries sign, two of those words were descriptors for Gryffindors.
Yeah.
Same with mine. Ambition.
You had loyal. You ambition. Had ambition. You don't match. But no, go back to the Aries.
I didn't know Taurus was Earth.
Libra's air.
Are there any,
how perfect.
This Ravenclaw?
We're opposite words signs, aren't we?
Well, this is what
we?
It says.
Are Libra, is Libra and Taurus opposite signs?
I don't know.
Because like Vinny pointed out, Hermione and Ron are opposite. They're Pisces and what is she? I can't remember now.
Virgo.
Oh, Aries and Libra are opposite. Thanks, Vinny. You're the bomb.
They actually say that they are compatible, I believe.
Taurus and Libra?
No.
Oh, Aries and Libra.
So some positive qualities of Aries, spontaneity, action-oriented, courage, drive, enterprise, innovation, frankness, adventure, orientation, which I look again, I think I'm the most adventurous person at this table,
mm-hmm.
especially like eating things. I'll try anything once.
I'm adventurous with other things, that. But food.
Like I like to travel. I like to do things. I'm not the type of person that likes to sit still.
Oh, no, me
like
either.
I get very bored easily.
Yeah.
And get over things very quickly. Some negative qualities of Aries, impatience. Mm. That's not me. Foolhardiness, selfishness, mm-hmm. vanity, pride, ego, mm-hmm. ruthlessness, mm-hmm. possessiveness, violence, mm-hmm. rashness.
Violence.
I would say I'm a lot of those.
I am too.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't mean we're the extreme of those and they pop up from time to time. I feel like, you know, everybody has.
I mean, everybody has bad
themselves.
Traits.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It would be, you would be lying if you said you didn't have any bad traits.
Correct.
This thing is like the Aries are the proverbial infants, guileless and optimistic to the fault. However, you know, they're also all those other things.
I like that we're all different elements. Well, like, will you guys match because your birthdays are the same, but like.
They're not the same.
You guys.
6 days apart.
Well, but
now,
you
were
guys
talking
are
about
fire.
Her mom.
She is my mom and her are the same birthday.
Oh, really?
And then her niece is the day before or after. Before.
She's the 10th.
You guys are fire. Katie's air and I'm earth.
That's cool.
Yeah. We need a, what's the fourth one?
Water.
We need a water.
I need it.
All right. We've got to go. We got to go.
We have to do fan story.
Okay. Fan story. This one comes from Allie Sweeten.
Yes, sweet.
Hi, ladies. I happened upon your podcast by accident, and I am so happy that I did. The Sorcerer's Stone was the first real book I ever read. It was the summer going into first grade, and my older sister had just finished it.
You were little.
You were really little.
So I stole it from her, and I had been hooked since. I remember going to see the first movie the day it came out, and I would tear through the books as soon as I possibly could. I truly grew up on Harry Potter, and my love for it is only getting stronger and crazier. I feel you. I lost my sister when I was 13, and Harry is what got me through. Those we love never really leave us, and I'm reminded of that every time I delve back into Harry Potter. Now I'm so grateful to have a close group of friends just as obsessed as I am. We try to go to every Potter-themed event in the Philly area, and we plan trips to Universal as often as possible. My sister left behind a son who is now 11, and one of the biggest blessings in my life has been able to show him this magical world. Mm-hmm. I actually just returned from taking him to Universal for the first time. While there, he had so many questions, and when he asked me how I know so much about Harry Potter, I told him about your podcast. Mm-hmm. So you may have a young Swisher soon. Thank you, ladies, for getting me through so many boring work days, long car rides, and a few bad nights. Keep doing what you do. It affects us more than you know. Love, Allie.
Aw, Allie.
Thank you, Allie.
Thank you, Allie.
Oh, thank you. I'm sorry for your loss of your sister. I can't imagine how hard that is, but I'm glad we can bring a little bit of light when you're feeling down.
Agreed.
And for your boring car rides.
And
I feel that on a personal level.
Keep pumping up your nephew.
Yes. Young Swishers.
I love it.
Right.
So you can find us on Facebook at Swish and Flick Podcast and on Twitter and Instagram at Swish Flick Cast. You can subscribe to us on YouTube and also join us on Patreon, which is where you can gain access to the Felix Files and our Discord chat. So you can find us at patreon.com/Swish Flick Cast and then choose your support level there. It lists out everything that you get for each level. And thank you to all of our current patrons. We really appreciate you. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Lastly, you can find everything about us on our website, which is swishflickcast.com, and you can also find all of our fun merchandise.
I want to remind everybody that, so we post throughout the week all the links that we use in our episodes, but if you want to find them all in one place, it's on our website under Weekly Profits. So
yes.
Anything perfect. We refer to, it's on there.
Yeah, and I'm thinking about expanding that a little bit, maybe. We can, like, put other news that we find along the way instead of having it I'll post just like one post a week. I don't know. We'll see how it goes.
There's that sitting at your desk trying to do more.
You know, I can't help it.
Anytime you bring up a new idea, I'm going to be like, are you sitting down? Are you bored? Get up and do something.
Oh, literally always.
Well, I'm just living life.
No, I think I said this in our last episode, so this is going to be another week, but we're recording this one day apart. So I am getting into Majora's Mask on my 3DS. Can I plug another podcast?
Do it.
All right. I really like them. I've been listening to Tandem Legends, and they're doing a playthrough of the Legend of Zelda series in the timeline order according to the Hyrule Historia. So if you are into video games, if you like Zelda, and you want to do a little playthrough, they like pretty much break it down like dungeon by dungeon. And ooh,
that's cool.
It's awesome.
What a cool concept.
Yeah, it's really cool. So you should download and listen to them if you enjoy them. They're also on Twitter. You can find them.
Send me like their link and stuff and we'll post it in the show notes.
Sweet. All right. So they're called Tandem Legends. And that's what I'm doing. And Alana's awesome and Marty's awesome and Fosbear is awesome and that's it. And I'm awesome.
Everything is awesome.
So I am launching my wedding design Instagram and Etsy account, and it's called Whimsy, but that was taken on Instagram because that's dumb. People should not use it.
Oh my gosh.
Whimsy Wedding Design. So you can follow me on there, and I'm going to be posting pictures of different invitations that I've made and stuff. And if anybody is interested, you can reach out to me and I'll let you know like how that works and whatnot.
Are you only going to do weddings?
I mean, we're open to expanding Whimsy to like more stuff than weddings, but I think that I need to be super focused on one thing when we start. And then once I get comfortable doing it, we can like branch out to other things. So like branding and
invites. You make Alana's B-Day invites.
Yeah,
that's totally. What I think she meant was like other invites, not just wedding invites.
Yeah, like wedding, 100%. Like birthday.
Yeah.
Bar and bat mitzvahs.
Oh, totally. Do you know anyone who is celebrating those?
No, I'm just saying.
But there could be listeners. Yeah, yes. I mean, any invitations, absolutely. I just like have focused mostly on wedding ones.
And I get
that's
that.
What I
she
have a lot
really
of examples
that.
Of, and I love doing that kind of design.
Totally random, but there's somewhere I remember hearing someone was like, mitzvahs, both bar and bat. What is that from? Friends.
Oh, yeah. Alec Baldwin says it. Yeah. But yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
It will be Winnie the Pooh theme.
Oh, so. Of course.
Winnie the Pooh / pool party.
Correct.
My mom's like, when is this happening? They haven't said anything
I have
to
ideas.
Me. I'm like, it's happening in like 4 months.
Katie, I have
wouldn't
ideas.
Worry about it yet.
What do you mean, when is it happening? Around her birthday.
I am so, guys, just have to tell you, I'm not going to be home in this country for my niece's first birthday, and it makes me want to cry.
You should.
Just kidding.
Yeah, it'll be all right.
And then you can also follow Katie and I on YouTube at Main Street 9¾. And then since Tiffany plugged somebody, I'm going to plug a YouTube channel.
Good.
And anybody who loves Disney as much as Katie and I should go and subscribe to the Brickheart Project on YouTube because their vlogs literally give me life and curb my want and need to be down in Florida literally all the time. even though I can't be. So you should subscribe to the Burkharts because they're amazing people. They put so much of their life on YouTube and it's just like amazing what they do. And they're really good friends of Katie and mine and I love them. So you should go subscribe.
I'll plug our other Etsy business, Akio Designs.
We've got a lot going on.
That one's been, God, it's been around forever though. So if you want some Harry Potter decor for your home or you want to keep warm this winter with some cozy scarves and blankets, check it out.
Yeah.
I don't do anything with my life.
That's not true.
I got nothing to plug.
You babysit Alana.
She babysits Alana.
I make sure that she survives every Friday.
She edits episodes. She does notes. Oh, she cooks. She cleans her home. She's been redecorating her bedroom.
It's such a struggle.
She was trapped upstairs.
I was. I couldn't go to our tax guy because the floors are getting done. So I'd have a business conference call. I'm just trying to figure out. I'm traveling a lot this year. I'm going to California soon because this is going to come out March in like a couple of weeks.
Oh, that's crazy to think about.
Yeah. And then
March is real soon.
I'm going to Aruba. I'm very excited. That's why I won't be around for my niece's first birthday, but I'll be home in time for her party. We're only going for a week.
Aruba.
No.
No,
but other than that, last time.
I was resisting, so. I knew it was coming.
Figuring out school, so.
Yay!
So stressful.
Love it.
It'll be worth it.
Yep,
it sucks, will. But it'll be worth it.
You got this.
You're going to be busy for a while.
I won't be able to do anything.
It's going to be awesome. So, it's fine. You're going to be fine. Everything is fine.
You're going to be fine. You're going to be fine. You're going to be fine.
It's going to be great.
But you can follow my adventures on O'Malley.
With three O's or three H's?
There's six total.
There's not.
There's just three H's.
Nobody's going to be able to find you. Yeah. They're going to be like, what?
But yeah, that's my life. Just trying to survive every day.
Aren't we all?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Give me book suggestions. There's a pinned post on our Facebook page. Or if you want to just email them to switchflickcast.com. Nope. Switch. What is it?
Switchflickcast@gmail.com.
Because I want to know. Give me one book that changed your life, not Harry Potter.
But Harry Potter.
All right. That concludes this week's episode. Thank you so much for listening, and don't let the muggles get you down.
Amazing! Just my voice!
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Who invented bagels?
I don't know, but I love them.
I hope the holes were a happy accident.
Did you know crackers were an accident? That was not from a butt. That was a jar.
Oh my god, you probably can't even hear it.
Oh, I thought I'd point it out.
Oh my god.
I bet that didn't even pick up.
Probably not. A chair squeaked. Okay, so.
Not a blast into the screen, but just a chair.
Just a chair.
Just a chair.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.